And now chapter 24 of the Madhya Lila, the 61 explanations of the Atmaram verse. May Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu be glorified. It was he who acted as the eastern horizon where the sun of the Atmaram verse rises and manifests its rays in the form of different meanings and thus eradicates the darkness of the material world. May he protect the universe. All glories to Lord Chaitanya. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Chandra. And all glories to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. Thereafter, Sanatan Goswami clasped the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and humbly submitted the following petition. Sanatan Goswami said, "My Lord, I have heard that previously at the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you explained the Atmaram verse in 18 different ways. I am referring to the famous Atmaram verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st canto, 7th chapter, and 10th verse, which reads, "Those who are self-satisfied and unattracted by external material desires are also attracted to the loving service of Sri Krishna, whose qualities are transcendental and whose activities are wonderful. Hari, the personality of Godhead, is called Krishna because he has such transcendentally attractive features. I have heard this wonderful story and am therefore very inquisitive to hear it again. If you would kindly repeat it, I would be very pleased to hear." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "I am one madman, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is another. Therefore, he took my words to be the truth. I do not recall what I spoke in that connection, but if something comes to my mind due to association with you, I shall explain it. Generally, by myself, I cannot give an explanation, but by the strength of your association, something may manifest itself. There are 11 clear words in this verse, but when they are studied separately, various meanings glitter from each word. The 7 different meanings of the word Atma are 1. The absolute truth, 2. The body, 3. The mind, 4. Endeavor, 5. Firmness, 6. Intelligence, and 7. Nature. The following are synonyms of the word Atma: the body, mind, absolute truth, natural characteristics, firmness, intelligence, and endeavor. The word Atmaram refers to one who enjoys these 7 items. Later I shall enumerate the Atmaramas. My dear Sanatan, first hear the meaning of the other words, beginning with the word Muni. I shall first explain their separate meanings, then combine them. The word Muni refers to one who is thoughtful, one who is grave or silent, an ascetic, one who keeps great vows, one in the renounced order, a saint. These are the different meanings of the word Muni. The word Nirgrantha refers to one who is liberated from the material knots of ignorance. It also refers to one who is devoid of all regulative principles enjoined in the Vedic literature. It also refers to one who does not have knowledge. Nirgrantha also refers to one who is illiterate, low-born, misbehaved, unregulated, and devoid of respect for Vedic literature. The word also refers to one who is a capitalist and to one who has no riches. The prefix ni may be used for a sense of ascertainment, gradation, construction, or forbidding. The word granta means riches, thesis, and composition. The word urukram refers to one whose kram, or step, is great. The word kram means throwing the foot forward, that is, step. Kram also means power, trembling, a systematic method, argument, and a forcible attack by stepping forward. Thus Vaman caused the three worlds to tremble. Even if a learned man is able to count all the minute atoms in this material world, he still cannot count the potencies of Lord Vishnu. In the form of the Vaman incarnation, Lord Vishnu, without hindrance, captured all the planets, beginning from the root of the material world up to Satyaloka. Indeed, he caused every planetary system to tremble by the force of his steps. Through his all-pervasive feature, the Supreme Personality of Godhead expanded the entire creation. He is holding and maintaining this creation by his extraordinary potency. By his conjugal potency, he maintains the planetary system known as Goloka Vrindavan. Through his six opulences, he maintains many Vaikuntha planets. The word Urukram indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who, by his external potency, has perfectly created innumerable universes. These are the different meanings of the word Kram. It is used in the sense of potency, systematic arrangement, step, moving, or trembling. The word kravanti, which means they do something for others, is a form of the verb things done for others. It is used in connection with devotional service, which must be executed for the satisfaction of Krishna. That is the purport of the word kravanti. The terminations of the Atmani pad are employed when the fruit of the action accrues to the agent of verbs having an indicatory N or a svarita accent. The word hetu, cause, means that a thing is done for some motive. There can be three motives. One may act to enjoy the result personally, to achieve some material perfection, or to act in such a way that one may be liberated. First, we take the word bhukti, or material enjoyment, which is of unlimited variety. We may also take the word siddhi, or perfection, which has 18 varieties. Similarly, the word mukti has 5 varieties. Causeless devotional service is unmotivated by sense enjoyment, perfection, or liberation. When one is freed from all these contaminations, he can bring Lord Krishna, who is very funny, under control. There are 10 meanings to the word bhakti, or devotional service. One is execution of devotional service according to the regulative principles, and the other, called prema bhakti, or ecstatic love, has 9 varieties. Next are explained the symptoms of love of Godhead, which can be divided into 9 varieties, beginning with attraction up to ecstatic love, and finally up to the topmost ecstatic love, or Mahabhav. The attraction to Krishna of devotees on the platform of neutrality increases up to love of Godhead or Prem, and the attraction of devotees on the platform of servitorship increases to spontaneous attachment or Raga. Devotees in Vrindavan who are friends of the Lord can increase their ecstatic love to the point of anurag. Paternal, affectionate lovers, Krishna's father and mother, can increase their love of Godhead up to the anurag point also. The gopis of Vrindavan, who are attached to Krishna in conjugal love, can increase their ecstatic love up to the point of Mahabhav, or the greatest ecstatic love. These are some of the glorious meanings of the word bhakti, devotional service. Please hear the meaning of the word itam bhutaguna, which is found in the Atmaram verse. Itam bhuta has different meanings, and guna has other meanings. The word itam bhuta is transcendentally exalted because it means full of transcendental bliss. Before this transcendental bliss, the bliss derived from merging into the existence of the Absolute, or Brahmananda, becomes like a piece of straw in comparison. As mentioned in the Hari Bhakti Sudadaya, "My dear Lord, O Master of the Universe, since I have directly seen you, my transcendental bliss has taken the shape of a great ocean. Being situated in that ocean, I now realize all other so-called happiness to be like the water contained in the hoofprint of a calf." Lord Krishna is so exalted that he is more attractive than anything else, and more pleasing than anything else. He is the most sublime abode of bliss. By his own strength, he causes one to forget all other ecstasies. Pure devotional service is so sublime that one can very easily forget the happiness derived from material happiness, material liberation, and mystic or yogic perfection. Thus the devotee is bound by Krishna's mercy and his uncommon power and qualifications. When one is attracted to Krishna on the transcendental platform, there is no longer any logical argument on the basis of revealed scripture, nor are there considerations of such conclusions. This is his transcendental quality that is the essence of all transcendental sweetness. The word guna means quality. The qualities of Krishna are transcendentally situated and are unlimited in quantity. All the spiritual qualities are full of transcendental bliss. Krishna's transcendental qualities, such as opulence, sweetness, and mercy, are perfect and full. As far as Krishna's affectionate leaning toward his devotees is concerned, he is so magnanimous that he can give himself to his devotees. Krishna has unlimited qualities. The devotees are attracted by his uncommon beauty, mellows, and fragrance. Thus they are differently situated in the different transcendental mellows. Therefore Krishna is called all-attractive. The minds of the four boy sages, or Sanak, Sanatan, Sanandan, and Sanat Kumara, were attracted to the lotus feet of Krishna by the aroma of the tulsi leaves that had been offered to the Lord. When the breeze carrying the aroma of tulsi leaves and saffron from the lotus feet of the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead entered through the nostrils of the hearts of those sages, the Kumaras, they experienced a change in both body and mind, even though they were attached to impersonal Brahman understanding. Shukdev's mind was carried away by remembering the pastimes of the Lord. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukdev Goswami addressed Parikshit Maharaj, saying, "My dear king, although I was fully situated in the transcendental position, I was nonetheless attracted to the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Therefore, I studied Srimad Bhagavatam from my father." And in another place, someone said, "I offer my respectful obeisances unto Srila Shukdev Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva. He is the destroyer of all sinful reactions and is full in self-realization and bliss. Because of this, he has no other desire. Still, he was attracted by the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and out of compassion for the people, he described the transcendental historical literature called Srimad Bhagavatam. This is compared to the light of the absolute truth. Lord Sri Krishna attracts the minds of all the gopis with his beautiful, transcendental bodily features. On the night that they arrived for the Ras dance, they said to Krishna, "Dear Krishna, we have simply surrendered ourselves as your maidservants, for we have seen your beautiful face decorated with tresses of hair, your earrings falling upon your cheeks, and the nectar of your lips. We have also seen the beauty of your smile, and have been embraced by your arms, which give us courage. Because we have seen your chest, which is beautiful and broad, we have surrendered ourselves." The queens in Dvarka, who are headed by Rukmini, are also attracted to Krishna simply by hearing about his transcendental beauty and qualities. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Rukmini Devi wrote in a letter to Krishna, "O most beautiful Krishna, I have heard about your transcendental qualities from others, and therefore all my bodily miseries are relieved. If one sees your transcendental beauty, his eyes have attained everything profitable in life. O infallible one, I have become shameless after hearing of your qualities, and I have become attracted to you." Lord Krishna even attracts the mind of the goddess of fortune simply by vibrating his transcendental flute. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the wives of the Kaliya demon said, "O Lord, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya attains such an opportunity to be touched by the dust of your lotus feet. For this end, the goddess of fortune performed austerities for centuries, giving up all other desires and taking austere vows. Indeed, we do not know how this serpent Kaliya got such an opportunity." Krishna attracts not only the minds of the gopis and the goddesses of fortune, but the minds of all the young girls in the three worlds as well. In Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the gopis said, "My dear Lord Krishna, where is that woman within the three worlds who cannot be captivated by the rhythms of the sweet songs coming from your wonderful flute? Who cannot fall down from the path of chastity in this way? Your beauty is the most sublime within the three worlds. Upon seeing your beauty, even cows, birds, animals, and trees in the forest are stunned in jubilation. The women of Vrindavan, who are on the level of superior guardians, are attracted maternally. The men of Vrindavan are attracted as servants, friends, and fathers to Lord Krishna. The qualities of Krishna captivate and attract everything, living and dead. Even birds, animals, and trees are attracted to Krishna's qualities. Although the word Hari has many different meanings, two of them are foremost. One meaning is that the Lord takes away all inauspicious things from his devotee. And the second meaning is that he attracts the mind by ecstatic love of God. When the devotee somehow or other always remembers the Supreme Personality of Godhead, anywhere and everywhere, Lord Hari takes away life's four miserable conditions. Lord Krishna says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, "As all fuel is burned to ashes by a full-fledged fire, all sinful activities are totally erased when one engages in devotional service to me." In this way, when all sinful activities are vanquished by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one gradually vanquishes all kinds of impediments on the path of devotional service, as well as the ignorance resulting from these impediments. After this, one totally manifests his original love of Godhead through devotional service in 9 different ways, hearing, chanting, and so forth. When the devotee is freed from all sinful material activities, Krishna attracts his body, mind, and senses to his service. Thus, Krishna is very merciful, and his transcendental qualities are very attractive. When one's mind, senses, and body are attracted to the transcendental qualities of Hari, one gives up the four principles of material success. Thus I have explained the chief meanings of the word Hari. When the conjunction cha, which means and the adverb api, which means although, are added to this verse, the verse can assume whatever meaning one wants to give it. The word cha can be explained in seven ways. The word cha is used to connect a word or sentence with a previous word or sentence, to give the sense of aggregation, to assist the meaning, to give a collective understanding, to suggest another effort or exertion, or to fulfill the meter of a verse. It is also used in the sense of certainty. There are seven chief meanings of the word api. They are as follows. The word api is used in the sense of possibility, question, doubt, censure, aggregation, appropriate application of things, and extravagance. I have now described the different meanings of the 11 separate words. Now let me give the complete meaning of the shloka as it is applied in different places. The word Brahma indicates the summum bonum, the absolute truth, which is greater than all other truths. It is the original identity, and there can be no truth equal to that absolute truth. As stated in the Vishnu Purana, I offer my respectful obeisances to the absolute truth, to the summum bonum. He is the all-pervasive, all-increasing subject matter for the great yogis. He is changeless, and he is the soul of all. The proper meaning of the word Brahma is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is one without a second, and without whom nothing exists. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth say that it is non-dual knowledge and is called impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and the Personality of Godhead. The absolute truth without a second is Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Supreme Truth in the past, present, and future. This is the evidence of all revealed scriptures. As the Lord says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, prior to the cosmic creation, only I exist, and no phenomena exist, either gross, subtle, or primordial. After creation, only I exist in everything. And after annihilation, only I remain eternally. The word Atma, or Self, indicates the highest truth, Krishna. He is the all-pervasive witness of all, and he is the supreme form. Hari, the Personality of Godhead, is the all-pervasive original source of everything. He is therefore the supersoul of everything. There are three ways to attain the lotus feet of the absolute truth, Krishna. There is the process of philosophical speculation, the practice of mystic yoga, and the execution of devotional service. Each of these has its different characteristics. The absolute truth is the same, but according to the process by which one understands him, he appears in three forms, as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth say that it is non-dual knowledge and is called impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and the Personality of Godhead. Although the words Brahma and Atma indicate Krishna, their direct meaning refers only to the impersonal Brahman and the Supersoul. If one follows the path of philosophical speculation, the absolute truth manifests himself as impersonal Brahman. And if one follows the path of mystic yoga, he manifests himself as the supersoul. There are two kinds of devotional activity, spontaneous and regulative. By spontaneous devotional service, one attains the original personality of Godhead, Krishna. And by the regulative process, one attains the expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By executing spontaneous devotional service in Vrindavan, one attains the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to those devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service, but he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body the same as the self. By executing regulative devotional service, one becomes an associate of Narayan and attains the Vaikuntha Lokas, the spiritual planets in the spiritual sky. Those who discuss the activities of Lord Krishna are on the highest platform of devotional life, and they evince the symptoms of tears in the eyes and bodily jubilation. Such persons discharge devotional service to Krishna without practicing the rules and regulations of the mystic yoga system. They possess all spiritual qualities, and they are elevated to the Vaikuntha planets, which exist above us. The devotees are divided into three categories: Akama, or desireless, Mokshakama, or desiring liberation, and Sarvakama, or desiring material perfection. One who is actually intelligent, although he may be a devotee free from material desires, a karmi desiring all kinds of material facilities, or a jnani desiring liberation, should seriously engage in bhakti yoga for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The meaning of the word udara di is buddhiman, intelligent or considerate. Because of this, even for one's own sense gratification, one engages in the devotional service of Lord Krishna. The other practices cannot yield results unless they are associated with devotional service. Devotional service, however, is so strong and independent that it can give one all the desired results. With the exception of devotional service, all the methods of self-realization are like nipples on the neck of a goat. An intelligent person adopts only devotional service, giving up all other processes of self-realization. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, "O best among the Bharatas, Arjuna, four kinds of pious men render devotional service unto me: the distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute." Materialistic devotees take to devotional service and worship Krishna when they are distressed or in need of money. Those who are actually inquisitive to understand the supreme source of everything, and those who are in search of knowledge, are called transcendentalists, for they desire liberation from all material contamination. Because they have a pious background, all four types of people are to be considered greatly fortunate. Such people gradually give up material desires and become pure devotees. One is elevated to the platform of devotional life by the mercy of a Vaishnava, the bona fide spiritual master, and by the special mercy of Krishna. On that platform, one gives up all material desires and the association of unwanted people. Thus, one is elevated to the platform of pure devotional service. The intelligent who have understood the Supreme Lord in the association of pure devotees and have become free from bad materialistic association can never avoid hearing the glories of the Lord, even though they have heard them only once. Cheating oneself and cheating others is called kaitava. Associating with cheaters is called dusanga, bad association. Those who desire things other than Krishna's service are also called dusanga, bad association. The great scripture Srimad Bhagavatam, compiled by Mahamuni Vyasadeva from four original verses, describes the most elevated and kind-hearted devotees, and completely rejects the cheating ways of materially motivated religiosity. It propounds the highest principle of eternal religion, which can factually mitigate the threefold miseries of a living being and award the highest benediction of full prosperity and knowledge. Those willing to hear the message of this scripture in a submissive attitude of service can at once capture the Supreme Lord in their hearts. Therefore, there is no need for any scripture other than the Srimad Bhagavatam. The prefix pra in the word projita specifically refers to those desiring liberation or oneness with the Supreme. Such a desire should be understood to result from a cheating propensity. The great commentator Sridhar Swami has explained this verse in that way. When the merciful Lord Krishna understands a devotee's foolish desire for material prosperity, he gratefully gives him the shelter of his lotus feet. In this way, the Lord covers his undesirable ambitions. Whenever Krishna is requested to fulfill one's desire, he undoubtedly does so, but he does not award anything which, after being enjoyed, will cause someone to petition him again and again to fulfill further desires. When one has other desires but engages in the Lord's service, Krishna forcibly gives one shelter at his lotus feet, where one will forget all other desires. Association with a devotee, the mercy of Krishna, and the nature of devotional service help one to give up all undesirable association and gradually attain elevation to the platform of love of Godhead. In this way, I shall progressively explain all the words in the verse. It should be understood that all these words are meant to enable one to taste the transcendental quality of Krishna. I have given all these texts to indicate the purpose of the verse. Allow me to explain the real purpose of the verse. There are two kinds of worshippers on the path of philosophical speculation. One is Brahma, Upasak, a worshipper of the impersonal Brahman, and the other is Mokshakangshi, one who desires liberation. There are three types of people who worship the impersonal Brahman. The first is the beginner. The second is one whose thoughts are absorbed in Brahman. And the third is one who is actually merged in the impersonal Brahman. One cannot attain liberation simply through philosophical speculation, devoid of devotional service. However, if one renders devotional service, he is automatically on the Brahman platform. Characteristically, one in devotional service is attracted away from the impersonal Brahman platform. He is offered a transcendental body to engage in Lord Krishna's service. When one gets a devotee's spiritual body, he can remember the transcendental qualities of Krishna. Simply by being attracted to Krishna's transcendental qualities, one becomes a pure devotee engaged in his service. Even a liberated soul, merged in the impersonal Brahman effulgence, is attracted to the pastimes of Krishna. He thus installs a deity and renders the Lord service. Although Shukdev Goswami and the four Kumaras were always absorbed in the thought of impersonal Brahman and were thus Brahmavadis, they were nonetheless attracted by the transcendental pastimes and qualities of Krishna. Therefore, they later became devotees of Krishna. The minds of the four Kumaras were attracted by the aroma of the flowers offered to Krishna's lotus feet. Being thus attracted by the transcendental qualities of Krishna, they engaged in pure devotional service. When the breeze carrying the aroma of tulsi leaves and saffron from the lotus feet of the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead entered through the nostrils into the hearts of those sages, the Kumaras, they experienced a change in both body and mind, even though they were attached to impersonal Brahman understanding. By the mercy of Srila Vyasadeva, Shukdev Goswami was attracted by the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Being thus attracted by Krishna's transcendental qualities, he also became a devotee and engaged in his service. Being very much attracted by the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, the mind of Srila Shukdev Goswami was agitated by Krishna consciousness. He therefore began to study Srimad Bhagavatam by the grace of his father. From their very births, the nine great mystic yogis, or yogendras, were impersonal philosophers of the absolute truth. However, because they heard about Lord Krishna's qualities from Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and the great sage Narad, they also became Krishna's devotees. In the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a full description of the devotional service of the nine yogendras, who rendered devotional service because they were attracted by the Lord's transcendental qualities. The nine yogendras entered Lord Brahma's association and heard from him the real meaning of the topmost Vedic literatures, the Upanishads. Although they were already conversant in Vedic knowledge, they became very jubilant in Krishna consciousness just by listening to Brahma. Thus they wanted to enter Dvarka, the abode of Lord Krishna. In this way, they finally achieved the place known as Rangakshetra. Those who wish to merge into the impersonal Brahman are divided into three categories: those desiring to be liberated, those already liberated, and those who have realized Brahman. There are many people within this material world who desire liberation, and for this purpose they render devotional service to Lord Krishna. Those who want to be relieved from the material clutches give up the worship of the various demigods who have fearful bodily features. Such peaceful devotees, who are not envious of the demigods, worship the different forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. If those who are attached to demigod worship fortunately associate with the devotees, their dormant devotional service and appreciation of the Lord's qualities gradually awaken. In this way, they also engage in Krishna's devotional service and give up the desire for liberation and the desire to merge into the existence of impersonal Brahman. In the Hari Bhakti Sudadaya, it is said, "O great learned devotee, although there are many faults in this material world, there is one good opportunity, the association with devotees. Such association brings about great happiness. Due to this good quality, our strong desire to achieve liberation by merging into the Brahman effulgence has become weakened." By associating with the great saint Narad, the great sages like Sonak and others gave up the desire for liberation and engaged in Krishna's devotional service. Simply by meeting Krishna or receiving Krishna's special favor, one can give up the desire for liberation. Being attracted by the transcendental qualities of Krishna, one can engage in his service. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, one person exclaims, "In this Dvarka Dham, I am being attracted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is personified spiritual bliss. Simply by seeing him, I am feeling great happiness. Oh, I have wasted so much time trying to become self-realized through impersonal cultivation. This is a cause for lamentation." There are many people who are liberated even in this lifetime. Some are liberated by discharging devotional service, and others are liberated through the philosophical, speculative process. Those who are liberated by devotional service become more and more attracted by the transcendental qualities of Krishna. Thus they engage in his service. Those who are liberated by the speculative process eventually fall due to offensive activity. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, a devotee says, O lotus-eyed one, those who think they are liberated in this life, but are without devotional service to you, are of impure intelligence. Although they accept severe austerities and penances, and rise to the spiritual position, to impersonal Brahman realization, they fall down again because they neglect to worship your lotus feet. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and is fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. Bilba Mangal Thakur writes, Although I was worshipped by those on the path of monism and initiated into self-realization through the yoga system, I am nonetheless forcibly turned into a maidservant by some cunning boy who is always joking with the gopis. One who has attained his constitutional position by the strength of devotional service attains a transcendental body even in this lifetime. Being attracted by Lord Krishna's transcendental qualities, one fully engages in service at his lotus feet. The living entities and other potencies merge in the Mahavishnu as the Lord lies down and winds up or destroys the cosmic manifestation. Liberation means being situated in one's eternal original form, which he attains after giving up the changeable gross and subtle bodies. By opposing Krishna consciousness, one again becomes conditioned and fearful due to the influence of Maya. By executing devotional service faithfully, one is liberated from Maya. When the living entity is attracted by the material energy that is separate from Krishna, he is overpowered by fear. Because he is separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the material energy, his conception of life is reversed. In other words, instead of being the eternal servant of Krishna, he becomes Krishna's competitor. This is called Viparyaya Smriti. To nullify this mistake, one who is actually learned and advanced worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his spiritual master, worshipful deity, and source of life. He thus worships the Lord by the process of unalloyed devotional service. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. One does not attain liberation without rendering devotional service. Liberation is only attained by devotional service. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, a devotee says, My dear Lord, devotional service unto you is the only auspicious path. If one gives it up simply for speculative knowledge or the understanding that these living beings are spirit souls and the material world is false, he undergoes a great deal of trouble. He only gains troublesome and inauspicious activities. His actions are like beating a husk that is already devoid of rice. One's labor becomes fruitless. O lotus-eyed one, those who think they are liberated in this life, but are without devotional service to you, are of impure intelligence. Although they accept severe austerities and penances, and rise to the spiritual position, to impersonal Brahman realization, they fall down again because they neglect to worship your lotus feet. If one simply maintains an official position in the four varnas and ashrams, but does not worship the Supreme Lord Vishnu, he falls down from his puffed-up position into a hellish condition. When one is actually liberated by executing devotional service, he always engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Even a liberated soul merged in the impersonal Brahman effulgence is attracted to the pastimes of Krishna. He thus installs a deity and renders the Lord service. These six kinds of Atmarams engage in the loving service of Krishna. The varieties of service are indicated by adding cha, and they also bear the meaning of api or indeed. The six kinds of Atmarams render devotional service to Krishna without ulterior motives. The word munaya and santa indicate those who are very attached to meditating upon Krishna. The word nigranta means without ignorance and devoid of rules and regulations. Whichever meaning fits may be applied. By using the word cha in different places, there are different meanings. Over and above them, there is another meaning that is very important. Although the words Atmaramas cha would be repeated six times simply by adding the word cha, five Atmarams are deleted. Therefore, there is no need to repeat the word Atmaram. One is sufficient, and that one word indicates six persons. Of words having the same form and case termination, the last one is the only one retained. For example, the word Rama is used to stand for Ramascha, 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 etc. By the aggregate use of the word cha, it is indicated that all the Atmarams and saints serve and worship Krishna. Api, added to the word nigranta, is used for exposition. Thus, I have tried to clarify the seven types of meaning. The yogi who worships the Supersoul within himself is also called Atmaram. There are two types of Atmaram yogis. The two Atmaram yogis are called Sagarbha and Nirgarbha. Each of these is divided into three. Therefore, there are six types of worshippers of the Supersoul. As mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, some yogis think of the Lord within their hearts as measuring about 6 inches. The Lord has four hands in which he holds a conch shell, club, disc, and lotus flower. Those who worship this form of Vishnu within the heart are called Sagarbha yogis. When one is in ecstatic love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's heart is melted by bhakti yoga, and one feels transcendental bliss. There are bodily symptoms manifest, and due to eagerness, there are tears in the eyes. Thus, one is subjected to spiritual bliss. When the heart is overly afflicted, the meditative mind, like a fishing hook, is gradually separated from the object of meditation. By these three divisions of advancement in yoga, Yoga Ruruksu, Yoga Ruda, and Prapta Siddhi, there are six kinds of mystic yogis. Those who wish to rise to the platform of yogic perfection practice the yoga system and strictly follow its regulative principles. They practice the yoga postures, asanas, and breathing exercises. Those who are already elevated to this platform practice meditation and keep their minds on the Supreme Lord. They reject all material activity and keep their minds in an equipoised condition known as sham. When a person is no longer interested in acting for sense gratification, and when he renounces all material desires, he is said to be situated in perfect yoga. When a purified yogi associates with devotees, he engages in Lord Krishna's devotional service, being attracted by the Lord's transcendental qualities. The meanings of the word cha and api can be applied here. The meanings of the word muni and nirgranta are the same as before. The word ahaitaki is always applicable to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Urukram. In this way, I have described the import of all these things in 13 complete varieties. These 13 types of yogis and munis are called shantabhaktas, for they render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the neutral stage. The word Atma sometimes means the mind. In this case, the word Atmaram means a person who is satisfied by mental speculation. When such a person associates with a pure devotee, he takes to devotional service at the lotus feet of Krishna. It says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, "Those who follow the path of great saintly mystic yogis take to the yogic gymnastic process and begin worshipping from the abdomen where it is said that Brahman is located. Such people are called Sharkaraksha, which means that they are situated in the gross bodily conception. There are also followers of the rishi known as Aruna. Following that path, they observe the activities of the arteries. Thus they gradually rise to the heart, where subtle Brahman, Paramatma, is situated. They then worship him. O unlimited Ananta, better than these persons are the mystic yogis who worship you from the top of their heads. Beginning with the abdomen and proceeding to the heart, they reach the top of the head and pass to the Brahmarandra, the hole at the top of the skull. Thus yogis attain the perfectional platform and do not enter the cycle of birth and death again. Being attracted by the transcendental qualities of Krishna, yogis become great saints. At that time, not being hampered by the yogic process, they engage in unalloyed devotional service. Atma also means endeavor. Being attracted by Krishna's transcendental qualities, some saints make a great endeavor to come to the point of rendering service to him. The transcendental position cannot be attained by wandering up and down from Brahmaloka and Satyaloka to Patalaloka. If one is actually intelligent and learned, he should endeavor for that rare transcendental position. Whatever material happiness is available within the 14 worlds is attained by the force of time, just as one attains distress in due course of time. Since these are not attained by spiritual consciousness, one should not try for them. Those who are anxious to awaken their spiritual consciousness, who have unflinching intelligence, and who are not deviated, certainly attain the desired goal of life. The word cha may be used in place of api, which gives emphasis to something. Thus it means that without sincere endeavor in devotional service, one cannot attain love of Godhead. Devotional perfection is very difficult to attain for two reasons. First, unless one is attached to Krishna, he cannot attain devotional perfection even if he renders devotional service for a long time. Second, Krishna does not easily deliver perfection in devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, "To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me." Another meaning of Atma is dhriti, or endurance. A person who endeavors with endurance is Atmaram. With endurance, such a person engages in devotional service. The word Muni also means bird and bumblebee. The word Nigranta refers to foolish people. By the mercy of Krishna, such creatures contact a sadhu or spiritual master and thus engage in devotional service. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the gopis say, "My dear mother, in this forest all the birds, after rising on the beautiful branches of the tree, are closing their eyes, and not being attracted by any other sound, are simply listening to the vibration of Krishna's flute. Such birds and bees must be on the same level as great saints." And Lord Krishna says to Lord Balaram, "O good fortune personified, O original personality of Godhead, all these bees are chanting about your transcendental fame, which will purify the entire universe. Indeed, they are following your path in the forest and are worshipping you. Actually, they are all saintly persons, but now they have taken the form of bees. Although you are playing like a human being, they could not forget that you are their worshipable deity. And the gopis lamented, "All the cranes and swans in the water are being enchanted by the melodious song of Krishna's flute. They have approached and are worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full attention. Alas, they are closing their eyes and becoming completely silent." In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukdeva Goswami said, "Kirat, Huna, Andhra, Pulinda, Pukash, Abhira, Shumba, Yavan, and the Kash races, and even others who are addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord due to His being the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto Him." The word dhriti is also used when one is fully perfect in knowledge. When due to having obtained the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has no material miseries, he attains Mahapurna, the highest level of perfection. Dhriti is the fullness felt by the absence of misery and brought about by receiving knowledge of the Supreme Lord and by obtaining pure love for Him. The lamentation that accrues from not obtaining a goal or by loss of something already attained does not affect this completeness. A devotee of Krishna is never in a miserable condition, nor does he have any desire other than to serve Krishna. He is experienced and advanced. He feels the transcendental bliss of love of Krishna and always engages in his service fully protected. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord says, "My devotees, having fulfilled their desires by serving me, do not accept the four kinds of salvation that are easily earned by such service. Why then should they accept any pleasures that are lost in the course of time?" In this material world, all living entities are disturbed due to their flickering position. A devotee, however, is fixed in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, the master of the senses. Such a person is to be considered situated in endurance and patience. The word cha is for emphasis, and the word api is used as an aggregate. It is to be understood that even dull creatures, such as birds and illiterates, can also be situated in endurance and engage in Krishna's devotional service. The word atma is also used for a particular type of intelligence. Since all living entities generally have some intelligence, more or less, they are included. Everyone has some kind of intelligence, and one who utilizes his intelligence is called Atmaram. There are two types of Atmaram. One is a learned scholar and a philosopher, and the other is an uneducated, illiterate, and foolish person. By the mercy of Krishna and by the association of devotees, one increases his attraction to and intelligence for pure devotional service. Therefore, one gives up everything and engages himself at the lotus feet of Krishna and his pure devotees. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, "I am the original source of everything. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my service with love and devotion. Women, fourth-class men, uncivilized hill tribes, hunters, and many others born of low families, as well as birds and beasts, can engage in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who acts very wonderfully, and follow the path of the devotees and take lessons from them. Although the ocean of nescience is vast, they can still cross over it. What then is the difficulty for those who are advanced in Vedic knowledge?" Considering all these points, when one engages in the service of Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna gives one the intelligence by which he can gradually progress toward perfection in service to the Lord. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, "To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me." To be elevated to the platform of devotional service, the following five items should be observed. Association with devotees, engagement in the service of Lord Krishna, the reading of Srimad Bhagavatam, the chanting of the holy names and residence at Vrindavan or Mathura. One's dormant love for Krishna gradually awakens if one is a little advanced in one of these five items and is intelligent. The power of these five principles is very wonderful and difficult to reconcile. Even without faith in them, a person who is offenseless can experience dormant love of Krishna simply by being a little connected with them. If a person is actually liberal and intelligent, he can advance and become perfect in devotional service, even if he has material desires and serves the Lord with some motive. Whether one desires everything or nothing, or whether he desires to merge into the existence of the Lord, he is intelligent only if he worships Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by rendering transcendental loving service. Devotional service is so strong that when one engages in it, he gradually gives up all material desires and becomes fully attracted to the lotus feet of Krishna. All this is brought about by attraction for the transcendental qualities of the Lord. Whenever Krishna is requested to fulfill one's desire, he undoubtedly does so, but he does not award anything which, after being enjoyed, will cause someone to petition him again and again to fulfill further desires. When one has other desires but engages in the Lord's service, Krishna forcibly gives one shelter at his lotus feet, where one will forget all other desires. Another meaning of the word Atma is one's characteristic nature. Whoever enjoys his particular type of nature is called Atmaram. Therefore, all living entities, be they moving or non-moving, are also called Atmaram. The original nature of every living entity is to consider himself the eternal servant of Krishna. However, under the influence of Maya, he thinks himself to be the body, and thus his original consciousness is covered. In that case, by the word cha, the word eva is meant. The word api can be taken in the sense of aggregation. Thus the verse would read, Atmaram eva, that is, even all kinds of living beings worship Krishna. Living entities include great personalities like the four Kumaras, low-class foolish people, trees, plants, birds, and beasts. The devotional service of Vyas, Shuka, and the four Kumaras has already been well celebrated. Let me explain how immovable living entities like trees and plants engage in the Lord's devotional service. Everyone is eligible to receive Krishna's mercy, including Vyasdev, the four Kumaras, Shukdev Goswami, low-born creatures, trees, plants, and beasts. By Krishna's mercy, they are elevated and engaged in his service. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna said to Balaram, "This land Vrindavan, Vrajabhumi, is glorified today. Your lotus feet have touched the earth and grass. Your fingers have touched the trees and creepers, and your merciful eyes have glanced upon rivers, hills, birds, and beasts. The gopis have been embraced by your arms, and even the goddess of fortune desires this. Now all of these are glorified." Also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the gopis praise the Lord's activities. My friend, both Krishna and Balaram are passing through the forest, leading their cows with their cowherd boyfriends. They both carry ropes with which, at the time of milking, they bind the rear legs of the cows. When they play on their flutes, all moving living entities are stunned, and non-moving living entities experience ecstatic jubilation by their sweet music. All these things are certainly very wonderful. The plants, creepers, and trees were full of fruits and flowers due to ecstatic love of Krishna. Indeed, being so full, they were bowing down. They were inspired by such deep love for Krishna that they were constantly pouring showers of honey. In this way, the gopis saw all the forest of Vrindavan. Kirat, Huna, Andhra, Pulinda, Pukash, Abira, Shumba, Yavan, and the Kash races, and even others who are addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord due to His being the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. I have already spoken about the 13 kinds of meaning. Now there are 6 more. Combined, these make 19. I have already explained 19 different meanings. Now please hear further meanings. The word Atma also refers to the body, and this can be taken in 4 ways. One in the bodily conception worships his own body as Brahman, but when he comes in contact with the devotee, he gives up this mistaken idea and engages himself in the devotional service of Lord Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, those who follow the path of great saintly mystic yogis take to the yogic gymnastic process and begin worshipping from the abdomen, where it is said that Brahman is located. Such people are called shark, which means that they are situated in the gross bodily conception. There are also followers of the rishi known as Aruna. Following that path, they observe the activities of the arteries. Thus they gradually rise to the heart where subtle Brahman, Paramatma, is situated. They then worship him. O unlimited Ananta, better than these persons are the mystic yogis who worship you from the top of their heads. Beginning with the abdomen and proceeding to the heart, they reach the top of the head and pass to the Brahmarandra, the hole at the top of the skull. Thus yogis attain the perfectional platform and do not enter the cycle of birth and death again. Those who are in the bodily conception mainly engage in fruitive activity. Those who perform yajñas and ritualistic ceremonies are also considered in the same category. However, when they are all in contact with the pure devotee, they give up their fruitive activity and fully engage in the service of the Lord. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the sages said to Suta Goswami, we have just begun performing this fruitive activity, a sacrificial fire, but due to the many imperfections in our action, we are not certain of its result. Our bodies have become black from the smoke, but we are factually pleased by the nectar of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, Govinda, which you are distributing. The tapasvis, those who undergo severe austerities and penances to elevate themselves to the higher planetary systems, are also in the same category. When such persons come in contact with a devotee, they give up all those practices and engage in Lord Krishna's service. The taste for loving service is like the water of the river Ganges, which flows from the feet of Lord Krishna. Every day that taste diminishes the results of sinful activities acquired over a period of many births by those who perform austerities. As long as one labors under the bodily conception, he must fulfill volumes and volumes of material desires. Thus a person is called Atmaram. When such an Atmaram is favored by the mercy of Krishna, he gives up his so-called self-satisfaction and engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. When he was being benedicted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dhruva Maharaj said, O my Lord, because I was seeking an opulent material position, I was performing severe types of penance and austerity. Now I have gotten you, who are very difficult for the great demigods, saintly persons, and kings to attain. I was searching after a piece of glass, but instead I have found a most valuable jewel. Therefore I am so satisfied that I do not wish to ask any benediction from you. In addition to the 19 other meanings, this Atmaram meaning, including those laboring under the bodily conception, makes 4 meanings altogether, and brings the total to 23 meanings. Now hear of another 3 meanings, which are very suitable. As mentioned above, the word cha has been used to mean aggregate. According to this meaning, all the Atmarams and the Munis engage in Krishna's service. Besides aggregate, there is another meaning of the word cha. The word nigranta is used as an adjective, and api is used in the sense of certainty. For instance, Ramash cha, Krishnash cha means that both Ram and Krishna enjoy walking in the forest. The word cha also means ambachaye, which means to present a secondary thing to be done at the same time. This is the way of understanding the word avachaye. An example is, O Brahmachari, go out to collect alms and at the same time bring in the cows. Saintly persons who are always meditating upon Krishna are engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. The Atmarams are also engaged in the Lord's service. That is the indirect import. The word cha is also used to indicate the certainty that only saintly persons are engaged in rendering devotional service to Krishna. In the combination Atmaram-api, api is used in the sense of censure. The word nigranta is taken as an adjective modifying muni and atmaram. There is another meaning, which you may hear from me, indicating association with the devotee. Now I shall explain how it is that through the association of devotees, even a nigranta can become a devotee. The word nigranta, when combined with api, used in the sense of certainty, indicates a person who is a hunter by profession, or who is very poor. Nonetheless, when such a person associates with a great saint like Narad, he engages in Lord Krishna's devotional service. The words Krishnaramascha refer to one who takes pleasure in thinking of Krishna. Even though such a person may be a hunter, he is still worshipable and is the best of devotees. I shall now narrate the story of how the hunter became a great devotee by the association of such an exalted personality as Narad Muni. From this story, one can understand the greatness of association with pure devotees. I shall now narrate the story of how the hunter became a great devotee by the association of such an exalted personality as Narad Muni. From this story, one can understand the greatness of association with pure devotees. Once upon a time, the great saint Narad, after visiting Lord Narayan in the Vaikunthas, went to Prayag to bathe at the confluence of three rivers, the Ganges, Yamuna, and Sarasvati. Narad Muni saw that a deer was lying on the path through the forest and that it was pierced by an arrow. It had broken legs and was twisting due to much pain. Farther ahead, Narad Muni saw a boar pierced by an arrow. Its legs were also broken, and it was twisting in pain. When he went farther, he saw a rabbit that was also suffering. Narad Muni was greatly pained at heart to see living entities suffer so. When Narad Muni advanced farther, he saw a hunter behind a tree. This hunter was holding arrows, and he was ready to kill more animals. The hunter's body was blackish. He had reddish eyes, and he appeared fierce. It was as if the superintendent of death, Yamaraj, was standing there with bows and arrows in his hands. When Narad Muni left the forest path and went to the hunter, all the animals immediately saw him and fled. When all the animals fled, the hunter wanted to chastise Narad with abusive language, but due to Narad's presence, he could not utter anything abusive. The hunter addressed Narad Muni.
O Goswami, O great saintly person, why have you left the general path through the forest to come to me? Simply by seeing you, all the animals I was hunting have now fled.
Narad Muni replied, Leaving the path, I have come to you to settle a doubt that is in my mind. I was wondering whether all the boars and other animals that are half-killed belong to you.
Yes, what you are saying is so.
Why did you not kill the animals completely? Why did you half-kill them by piercing their bodies with arrows?
My dear saintly person, my name is Magrari, enemy of animals. My father taught me to kill them in that way. When I see a half-killed animal, and I see him suffering, I feel great pleasure.
All right, but I have one thing to beg of you.
You may take whatever animals or anything else you would like. I have many skins if you would like them. I shall give you either a deer skin or a tiger skin. Take what you like.
I do not want any of the skins. I am only asking one thing from you in charity. I beg you that from this day on, you will kill animals completely and not leave them half dead.
My dear sir, what are you asking me? What is wrong with the animals lying there half dead? Will you please explain this to me?
If you leave the animals half dead, you are purposefully giving them pain. Therefore, you will have to suffer in retaliation. My dear hunter, your business is killing animals. That is a slight offense on your part. But when you consciously give them unnecessary pain by leaving them half dead, you incur very great sins. All the animals that you have killed and given unnecessary pain will kill you one after another in your next life and in life after life. In this way, through the association of the great sage Narad Muni, the hunter was a little convinced of his sinful activity. He therefore became somewhat afraid due to his offenses. The hunter then admitted that he was convinced of his sinful activity, and he said,
I have been taught this business from my very childhood. Now I am wondering how I can be freed from these unlimited volumes of sinful activity. Huh? My dear sir, please tell me how I can be relieved from the reactions of my sinful life. Now I fully surrender unto you and fall down at your lotus feet. You please, please deliver me from sinful reactions.
All right. If you listen to my instructions, I shall find the way you can be liberated.
My dear sir, whatever you say, I shall do.
All right. First of all, break your bow. Then I shall tell you what is to be done.
Break my bow? If I break my bow, how shall I maintain myself?
Do not worry. I shall supply all your food every day. Being thus assured by the great sage Narad Muni, The hunter broke his bow, immediately fell down at the saint's lotus feet, and fully surrendered. After this, Narad Muni raised him with his hand and gave him instructions for spiritual advancement. Now return home and distribute whatever riches you have to the pure Brahmins, who know the absolute truth. After distributing all your riches to the Brahmins, both you and your wife should leave home, taking only one cloth to wear. Leave your home and go to the river. There you should construct a small cottage, and in front of the cottage you should grow a tulsi plant on a raised platform. After planting the tulsi tree before your house, you should daily circumambulate that tulsi plant, serve her by giving her water and other things, and continuously chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I shall send sufficient food for you both every day. You can take as much food as you want. The three animals that were half killed were then brought to their consciousness by the sage Narad. Indeed, the animals got up and swiftly fled. When the hunter saw the half-killed animals flee, he was certainly struck with wonder. He then offered his respectful obeisances to the sage Narad and returned home. After all this, Narad Muni went to his destination. After the hunter returned home, he exactly followed the instructions of his spiritual master, Narad. The news that the hunter had become a Vaishnav spread all over the village. Indeed, all the villagers brought alms and presented them to the Vaishnav, who was formerly a hunter. In one day, enough food was brought for 10 or 20 people, but the hunter and his wife would accept only as much as they could eat. One day, while speaking to his friend Parbat Muni, Narad Muni requested him to go with him to see his disciple, the hunter. When the saintly sages came to the hunter's place, the hunter could see them coming from a distance. With great alacrity, the hunter began to run toward his spiritual master, but he could not fall down and offer obeisances because ants were running hither and thither around his feet. Seeing the ants, the hunter whisked them away with a piece of cloth. After thus clearing the ants from the ground, he fell down flat to offer his obeisances. Narad Muni said, "My dear hunter, such behavior is not at all astonishing. A man in devotional service is automatically non-violent. He is the best of gentlemen. Oh, hunter, good qualities like non-violence, which you have developed, are not very astonishing. For those engaged in the Lord's devotional service are never inclined to give pain to others because of envy." The hunter then received both the great sages in the courtyard of his house. He spread out a straw mat for them to sit upon, and with great devotion he begged them to sit down. He then fetched water and washed the sages' feet with great devotion. Then both husband and wife drank the water and sprinkled it on their heads. When the hunter chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra before his spiritual master, his body trembled and tears welled in his eyes. Filled with ecstatic love, he raised his hands and began to dance, waving his garments up and down. When Parvat Muni saw the ecstatic loving symptoms of the hunter, he told Narad,
"Certainly, you are a touchstone. My dear friend Narad Muni, you are glorified as the sage among the demigods. By your mercy, even a low-born person like this hunter can immediately become attached to Lord Krishna."
Narad Muni then asked the hunter, "My dear Vaishnav, do you have some income for your maintenance?"
"My dear spiritual master, whoever you send gives me something when he comes to see me. Please do not send so many grains. Only send what is sufficient for 2 people, no more."
So Narad Muni approved his not wanting more than a daily supply of food, and he blessed him, saying, "You are fortunate." Narad Muni and Parvat Muni then disappeared from that place. So far I have narrated the incident of the hunter. By hearing this narration, one can understand the influence derived by associating with devotees. In this way, we have found three more meanings. Combine these with the other meanings, and the total number of meanings add up to 26 in all. There is yet another meaning, which is full of a variety of imports. Actually, there are two gross meanings and 32 subtle meanings. The word Atma refers to all the different expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One of them is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, Krishna, and the others are different incarnations or expansions of Krishna. One who always engages in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called Atmaram. There are two types of Atmaram. One is an Atmaram engaged in regulative devotional service, and the other is an Atmaram engaged in spontaneous devotional service. The Atmarams engaged in regulative and spontaneous devotional service are further categorized into four groups. There are the eternal associates, the associates who have become perfect by devotional service, and those who are engaged in devotional service and are called sadhak. Those who are practicing devotional service are either mature or immature. Therefore, the sadhaks are of two types. Since the devotees execute either regulative devotional service or spontaneous devotional service, and there are four groups within these two divisions, altogether there are eight varieties. By executing regulative devotional service, one is elevated to the platform of an eternally perfect associate, such as a servant, friend, superior, or beloved woman. These are of four varieties. Among those who have perfected themselves by devotional service, there are servants, friends, superiors, and beloved damsels. Similarly, there are four types of mature devotees. Within the category of regulative devotional service, there are also immature devotees. These are also of four varieties. Thus, in regulative devotional service, there are altogether 16 varieties. On the path of spontaneous devotional service, there are also 16 categories of devotees. Thus, there are 32 types of Atmarams enjoying the Supreme Lord on these two paths. When these 32 types of devotees are qualified with the words Muni Nigranta Cha'api, they can be increased in different ways and very soundly elaborated upon. When we add the 26 types of devotees to these 32, they altogether number 58. You may now hear from me of manifestations with different meanings. In this way, as I add the word cha to one word after another, I make a compound. Thus, the different names of Atmarams can be taken 58 times. In this way, one can repeat the word Atmaram with cha for each of the 58 meanings. By following the rule previously stated and rejecting all but the last, we retain that which represents all the meanings. Of words having the same form and case termination, the last one is the only one retained. When all the chakkhata, or additions to the word cha, are taken away, 58 different meanings can still be understood by the one word Atmaram. By the plural word vriksha, or trees, all trees, such as banyan trees, fig trees, kapita trees, and mango trees, are indicated. This Atmaram verse is like the sentence, "In this forest many different trees bear fruit." All Atmarams render devotional service to Lord Krishna. After 58 times uttering the word Atmarama and taking cha in a sense of aggregation, one may add the word Munaya. That will mean that they also render devotional service to Lord Krishna. In this way, there are 59 meanings. then taking the word nigranta and considering api in the sense of sustenance, I have tried to explain 59 meanings of the word. Taking all the words together, there is another meaning. Whether one is an Atmaram, a great sage, or Nigranta, everyone must engage in the service of the Lord. The word api is then used in the sense of ascertainment, and then four times with four words, the word eva can be uttered. The words urukram, bhakti, ahaituki, and kurvanti are added to the word eva again and again. Thus, another meaning is explained. Now I have given 60 different meanings to the verse, and yet there is another meaning which is also very strongly evident. The word atma also refers to the living entity who knows about his body. That is another symptom. From Lord Brahma down to the insignificant ant, everyone is counted as the marginal potency of the Lord. The potency of Lord Vishnu is summarized in three categories, namely the spiritual potency, the living entities, and ignorance. The spiritual potency is full of knowledge. The living entities, although belonging to the spiritual potency, are subject to bewilderment. And the third energy, which is full of ignorance, is always visible in fruitive activities. The word kshetrajna refers to the living entity, the enjoyer, the chief, and material nature. The living entities are wandering in different species of life on different planets, but if by chance they get the association of a pure devotee, a sadhu, they give up all other engagements and engage in the service of Lord Krishna. I have thus explained 60 different meanings, and all of them aim at the service of Lord Krishna. After giving so many examples, that is the only meaning. Now, due to your association, another meaning has awakened. It is due to your devotional service that these waves of meaning are arising. Lord Shiva once said, "I may know. Shukdeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, may know. And Vyasadeva may know or may not know the Srimad Bhagavatam." On the whole, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the spotless Purana, can be learned only through devotional service, not by material intelligence, speculative methods, or imaginary commentaries. After hearing all the explanations of all the different meanings of the Atmaram verse, Sanatan Goswami was struck with wonder. He fell down at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and began to offer prayers. Sanatan Goswami said, "My dear Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda. All the Vedic literatures are vibrated through your breathing. My dear Lord, you are the original speaker of the Bhagavatam. You therefore know its real import. But for you, no one can understand the confidential meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Why are you glorifying me personally? You should understand the transcendental position of Srimad Bhagavatam. Why don't you consider this important point? Srimad Bhagavatam is as great as Krishna, the Supreme Lord and shelter of everything. In each and every verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, and in each and every syllable, there are various meanings. The form of Srimad Bhagavatam is given in questions and answers. Thus, the conclusion is established. By hearing these questions and answers, one is highly astonished." In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Suta Goswami was asked, "Now that Sri Krishna, the Absolute Truth, the master of all mystic powers, has departed for his own abode, please tell us by whom religious principles are presently protected." After Lord Krishna departed for his own abode, along with religious principles and transcendental knowledge, this Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam has arisen like the sun in this age of Kali to enlighten those who have no spiritual vision. In this way, like a madman, I have explained the meaning of just one verse. I do not know who will take this as evidence. If one becomes a madman like me, he may also understand the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam by this process. Folding his hands, Sanatan Goswami said, "My Lord, you ordered me to write a directory about the activities of Vaishnavas. I am a most low-born person. I have no knowledge of good behavior. How is it possible for me to write authorized directions about Vaishnava activities?" Sanatan Goswami then requested the Lord, "Please personally tell me how I can write this difficult book about Vaishnava behavior. Please manifest yourself in my heart. If you would please manifest yourself within my heart and personally direct me in writing this book, then although I am low-born, I may hope to be able to write it. You can do this because you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead yourself, and whatever you direct is perfect." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Whatever you want to do, you will be able to do correctly by Lord Krishna's favor. He will manifest the real purport. Because you asked me for a synopsis, please hear these few indications. In the beginning, one must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. In your book, there should be the characteristics of the bona fide guru and the bona fide disciple. Then, before accepting a spiritual master, one can be assured of the spiritual master's position. Similarly, the spiritual master can also be assured of the disciple's position. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, should be described as the worshipable object, and you should consider the Bij Mantra for the worship of Krishna, Ram, or any other expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You should discuss the qualifications necessary for receiving a mantra, the perfection of the mantra, the purification of the mantra, initiation, morning duties, remembrance of the Supreme Lord, cleanliness, and washing the mouth and other parts of the body. In the morning, one should regularly brush his teeth, take his bath, offer prayers to the Lord, and offer obeisances to the spiritual master. One should render service to the spiritual master and paint one's body in 12 places with Urdhva Pundra or Tilak. One should stamp the holy names of the Lord on his body, or one should stamp the symbols of the Lord such as the disc and club. After this, you should describe how one should decorate his body with Gopi Chandan, wear neck beads, collect tulsi leaves from the tulsi tree, cleanse his cloth and the altar, cleanse one's own house or apartment, and go to the temple and ring the bell just to draw the attention of Lord Krishna. Also describe deity worship, wherein one should offer food to Krishna at least 5 times daily. One should in due time place Krishna on a bed. You should also describe the process for offering arti and the worship of the Lord according to the list of 5, 16, or 50 ingredients. The characteristics of the deities should be discussed, as well as the characteristics of the Shalagram Shila. One should also discuss visiting the deities in the temple and touring holy places like Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dvarka. You should glorify the holy name and carefully give up offenses when chanting the holy name. One should know the symptoms of a Vaishnava. One must give up or nullify all kinds of seva aparada, offenses in deity worship. The items of worship such as water, conch shell, flowers, incense and lamp should be described. You should also mention chanting softly, offering prayers, circumambulating, and offering obeisances. All these should be carefully studied. Other items to be considered are the method of performing purascharan, taking Krishna prasad, giving up unoffered food, and not blaspheming the Lord's devotees. One should know the symptoms of a devotee and how to associate with devotees. One should know how to satisfy the devotee by rendering service, and one should know how to give up the association of non-devotees. One should also regularly hear the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. You should describe the ritualistic duties of every day, and you should describe the fortnightly duties, especially observing Ekadasi fast, which comes every fortnight. You should also describe the duties of every month, especially the observance of ceremonies like Janmashtami, Ram Navami, Narsingha Chaturdasi. Ekadasi, Janmashtami, Vaman Dvadasi, Ram Navami, and Narsingha Chaturdasi should all be observed. You should recommend the avoidance of mixed Ekadasi and the performance of pure Ekadasi. You should also describe the fault in not observing this. One should be very careful as far as these items are concerned. If one is not careful, one will be negligent in executing devotional service. Whatever you say about Vaishnav behavior, the establishment of Vaishnav temples and deities, and everything else should be supported by evidence from the Puranas. You should give general and specific descriptions of the behavior and activities of a Vaishnav. You should outline things that are to be done and things that are not to be done. All this should be described as regulations and etiquette. I have thus given a synopsis of the Vaishnav regulative principles. I have given this in brief just to give you a little direction. When you write on this subject, Krishna will help you by spiritually awakening you. Thus I have narrated Lord Chaitanya's mercy upon Sanatana Goswami. When one hears these topics, one's heart will be cleansed of all contamination. The authorized poet, Kavi Karnapur, has written a book named Chaitanya Chandrodaya Natak. This book tells how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed Sanatana Goswami with his specific mercy. It is mentioned in that text, Srila Sanatana Goswami, the elder brother of Srila Rupa Goswami, was a most important minister in the government of Hussein Shah, the ruler of Bengal, and he was considered a most brilliant gem in that assembly. He possessed all the opulences of a royal position, but he gave up everything just to accept the youthful goddess of renunciation. Although he externally appeared to be a mendicant who had renounced everything, he was filled with the pleasure of devotional service within his heart. Thus he can be compared to a deep lake covered with moss. He was the object of pleasure for all the devotees who knew the science of devotional service. As soon as Sanatana Goswami arrived in front of Lord Chaitanya, the Lord, seeing him, became merciful to him. The Lord, who has the complexion of a golden champaka flower, opened his arms and embraced him while expressing great affection. In the course of time, the transcendental news of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan was almost lost. To enunciate explicitly those transcendental pastimes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Prayag empowered Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami with the nectar of his mercy to carry out this work in Vrindavan. I have thus explained the mercy bestowed on Sanatana Goswami by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If one hears this, all moroseness in the heart will diminish. By reading these instructions to Sanatana Goswami, one will become fully aware of the Lord's various expansions and the process of devotional service according to the regulative principles and spontaneous love. Thus everything can be fully known. By reading this chapter, a pure devotee can understand love of Krishna, the mellows of devotional service, and the conclusion of devotional service. Everyone can understand all these things to their ultimate end by studying this chapter. The conclusion of this chapter can be known to one whose life and soul are the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and Advaita Prabhu. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. This ends chapter 24 of the Madhya Lila, Explanations of the Atmaram verse.